You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
The oceans and waters of this planet are an important food source for humans and other living beings. A living ocean filled with healthy ecosystems and marine habitats is also important in countering global warming. Every year we abuse these waters and the life forms that live in it. We overfish, we pollute with toxins and noise, we dredge and extract. Marine protection habitats are a response to the ecological threats that oceans are facing. And we're joined today by Beth Hunter from Greenpeace Canada, and she'll talk to us about marine protected areas and why we should establish more of them. Good morning, Beth.
Morning.
What is a marine protected area?
It's an area that, like a park on land, protects the ocean. And the type of protection that it provides varies widely. Within the umbrella of marine protected areas, it can range from something which just manages the type of extraction that takes place there, so may perhaps limit bottom trawling as a method of fishing within an area, or may prohibit oil and gas extraction. It can also, on the other extreme, be a no-take marine reserve, which is what Greenpeace is promoting and pushing for, which means that there is, not that there's no human activity whatsoever, but there is no extraction, oil and gas, fisheries. In some cases, there may be some allowance for small-scale fisheries of a certain very low impact, but in general it's no take, and even within that it can be important to have some areas which are completely set aside for scientific research and in which there is no human activity, so that we have a comparison point to look at when we're trying to understand the impact that we're having on humans on the ocean, that we can compare it to what it would naturally be doing if we weren't there.
And when we talk about marine protected areas, what kinds of, I don't know if you actually use the term terrain in terms of talking about ocean ecosystems, but what range are we talking about? Ocean bottom in addition to intertidal areas? Is there shoreline involved?
It's generally just the water that we're talking about, but it can involve the coastlines. Greenpeace's international main work is on the high seas, so that's outside of the 200 nautical mile limit that exists around all national borders. But within that, it's all the way down to the ocean floor, which is the reason that it can be controversial and difficult, because there are obviously resource rights and interests. Once you start talking about oil and gas exploration and use of the bottom floor of the ocean, so that can make it more controversial when you're trying to set aside these areas for protection.
Why is protecting marine species and their ecosystems important?
Well, as you mentioned in the introduction, it's when we have healthy, diverse ecosystems in the oceans, that helps them be more resilient to some of the stresses that they're experiencing, including climate change. But even aside from that, it's in terms of the biggest, most obvious use that we make of the oceans, which is fisheries. When we set aside areas which are protected, it allows the fish that pass through there, that breed there, that grow up there, to do so, and it's actually been proven that there's a hugely important impact, positive impact, on the outlying areas from marine reserves and marine protected areas when there's an exclusion of fishing as a practice within there, because that does allow those eggs and juveniles to grow up. And right now, what we're doing globally in our fisheries is overfishing, and we're fishing down the food chain, meaning that we're fishing out the top predators and moving further and further down the trophic levels, such that those top species are in some cases getting close to extinction, and it's just changing the whole ecosystem, the whole balance that's naturally set up within those ocean ecosystems. So setting aside some areas is really the most logical way to prevent all of that unbalancing from taking over, preventing us as humans from having such a negative impact on the oceans, because it just allows those areas to act as they naturally would.
And what effect does having a healthy ocean have in countering global warming?
Well, it's mostly in terms of the resilience that it allows the ecosystems to have. So their ability to deal with, for example, changes in ocean temperature, if they're not already being stressed by, you know, overfishing or bottom trawling, say coral reefs that are affected strongly by changes in the ocean temperature, if they're not already being affected by these other stresses of overfishing and you know, trawling that rakes the bottom of the floor, then they're able to resist those climatic changes better.
How does setting aside marine protected areas, how does that address the issue of fishing piracy, which I understand is becoming a bit of a problem?
It addresses it in a great way, really, because what we see happening on the high seas is pirate fishing because the high seas don't belong to any nation, it's areas which are particularly prone to pirate fishing. And although there are regional fisheries management organizations that are supposed to be overseeing those areas, in many, many cases, those institutions are just not fully functional, and in some areas there are not any set up. So they're not able to protect the high seas as they should. So when you can set aside marine reserves, and this does require good implementation, which in itself requires strengthening up those organizations, but it basically cuts down some of the window of opportunity for pirate fishing. And one example of that is there are what are called donut holes in the high seas, which are small areas between various national waters, which, like the middle of a donut, which are high seas areas, and in which pirate fishers can transship their shipments from one ship to another, and which makes the basically fish laundering that goes on a lot easier. If we can shut those off as no-take marine reserves, then that will also be no longer, it will not be nearly so easy for them to take on those activities, and the countries in the surrounding areas will be able to police their national waters and to know that in the donut holes there's not supposed to be any fishing. So it'll just make for a much stronger system. And what we see happening in the Pacific Islands is that these countries, which are very poor countries and depend on fishing for their food security of their communities, and also depend on the revenues that come from other countries fishing in their waters, there is a big push going on right now to try and create some of these marine reserves and close off those holes, because that will give them more revenues, better food security. And actually, just today in Korea, there's a meeting starting of one of these regional fisheries management organizations for the Western Pacific. And that's one of the big asks of the Pacific Island nations, is that we create these marine reserves. And Greenpeace is standing with them, and we've been asking Canada to stand with them also to close off those areas and give them a better chance at having food security and some decent revenues coming in.
So it's interesting that the Pacific Islands are asking for that kind of solution. Do fishers and coastal communities generally support establishing these MPAs?
It really depends on the fishers and on the coastal communities. You know, there's no black and white answer. There is quite often initially resistance, because the initial understanding is, oh my gosh, we're losing our fishing rights. It's gonna close off areas that we should be able to fish in and that we're getting revenues from. However, once there's a better understanding that, first of all, it doesn't close off necessarily all of their fishing areas, and that there is this incredibly beneficial aspect to the outlying areas of the marine reserves, then quite often there is buy-in and support for it by the coastal communities and fishers. Yeah.
Well, how many marine protected areas do we need globally? I mean,
well, what we're asking for at Greenpeace is 40% of the high seas to be set aside in no-take marine reserves. Scientific advice varies between 20% and 50% of what generally is considered to be what maximizes the benefit to ecosystems and fisheries of such reserves. In Canada, I mean, actually, across the globe, it's less than 1% that's currently protected, so we have a really, really long way to go. In Canada, it's less than 5%, and when we compare ourselves in terms of our national waters to other countries, we're really not doing very well. We're pretty slow off the mark. The Convention on Biological Diversity has put in place a plan for there to be an ask that the countries have agreed to, that there be a global network of marine reserves by 2012, which would entail having somewhere between 10 and 30% of national waters set aside, depending on what the ecosystem is that we're talking about. And so, obviously, we have a really long way to go in Canada. In the United States, they're at 5%. Australia has set aside 10%. And that's, now we're talking about marine protected areas. So they're not, that's not all marine reserves. It's no take. It's a variety of things. But, you know, and generally we need to have more no-take marine reserves within those. But, the bottom line is basically, you know, we need to just do a lot more work globally and in Canada to make that happen in order to protect the resources that we all want to have. It's not about never fishing again. It's about having fish for the future.
Right. And so what does the Canadian plan look like then going forward? You mentioned some statistics related to that, but do they have a schedule to establish more marine protection areas?
They don't seem to have a schedule. I mean, there is this deadline of 2012. There are currently 7 areas that have been set aside as marine protected areas, some of them quite small, some of them bigger than others. I believe that there's an objective for that 2012 to come to 29 areas in order to be somewhat representative, but it's moving at a very slow pace. There seem to be quite a lot of stoppages around federal-provincial agreements, and also in terms of funding. I mean, setting up these areas does require funding to do the scientific research, the consultation, and then the monitoring once they're in place. And Canada has just not put in the funds required to make that happen. And really, it's like many other things, you know, medicine or whatever. If prevention can cost less than recovery afterwards, I mean, it can seem like, you know, a large amount of money to put into, that needs to be put in to protect these areas. But in the long run, if we don't protect them, then we're going to abuse them, and then it costs way more to try and, you know, regenerate fisheries and the coastal communities that depend on those fisheries than if we had just protected them in the first place.
Well, what do you think it's going to take, Beth, to make the Canadian government work on establishing a viable network of marine protection areas?
I think it's going to take some pushing from the public. I think that there needs to be, you know, if people can contact their MPs and just tell them, we have an Oceans Act in Canada, but it's not being fully implemented. And I think contrary to parks on the land that are easy to see, and it's easy to see what the benefits are, it's harder to see what's happening in the ocean and to understand the benefits of that. But we need to recognize that and push for it to happen. You know, there need to be organizations that work on marine conservation need to have the support to be able to them push for, you know, and work on some of the more detailed management efforts that need to happen to work with fisheries and coastal communities to hack out what the agreements look like and how the protection gets implemented. But I would say really the first step is just more awareness and more pressure put on particularly the federal government to set aside these areas as protected areas.
Well, I appreciate your taking the time this morning to shed some light on this. It's been really interesting.
Most welcome. It was a pleasure. Bye.
Okay. Bye now. I've been speaking with Beth Hunter. She's coordinator for the Oceans Campaign for Greenpeace Canada, and you can get more information from their website at greenpeace.ca or go to our website at cooperadio.org/redeye and jump on a link from there.